Almoini did anything bad. He was worried about the kashrus of Rus, whether this is appropriate shidduch for him. And that's why he declined. Right? So it doesn't seem like he did such a big avla. Maybe he was wrong, maybe he was right, whatever. Obviously, if boy is paskind, the boy is paskind. But nothing terrible. But what we find that in Megillus Rus is that his name is like wiped away. They don't even call him by his name, except for that one opinion we brought down that holds his name was Pliny Almoini. Right? But the pashtus, his name was Toiv or whatever his name was, as Chazal say, and they took his name out. So that's what we were marich to discuss. I want to now take that to the next level of what he did and what Boyaz did and how this works. When Rus first met Boyaz, so Boyaz tells Rus that Hashem will repay her back fully. Right, famous pasuk, Perek Beis, Yishalem Hashem po'aleich, Hashem should pay your pula, your action. It's very strong words that Boaz uses. And your maskoris is your wages, your payment, should be shlema, should be complete. Me'im Hashem. So the Medrash comes on this pasuk, the Medrash Rabbah in Rus. And the Medrash says, so what was that reward? So I'm going to read you the Medrash. You'll see it's an astounding Medrash. What was the reward? So number one, she lived, according to the Medrash, to see Shlomo HaMelech be king. That's a long life. She lived all the way. She lived through Bzman HaShoftim. She lived through David HaMelech. She lived to see Shlomo HaMelech be king on Klal Yisrael. In fact, one Medrash says that when it says that Shlomo HaMelech had a kisei le'em HaMalchus, he had a throne for the Eim HaMalchus, according to one opinion in the Medrash, that's talking about he had in the palace a throne for Ruth. That means if you went to the, what you'd call today the White House, if you went to the palace, there was there a seat for Ruth, a throne. So this is what the Medrash says. Lo meso Ruth HaMoyavio, Ad Shiraso Shloima ben Bino. Now, if we would have just said she saw Shloima, her great grandson, king, that would be gewaldic. Makes sense. She was zeichet to see such an unbelievable thing. I'll tell you what the Medrash says. Ad Shiraso Shloima ben Bino Yoishev. It doesn't even say a king, but obviously it means a king. The Don Dinon Shel Zoinois. You know the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech? The two Zoinus came. Each one said, this is my child. This one said, it's my child. Shlomo HaMelech was able to differentiate, was able to decipher who was the real mother. Famous story. So she was zeichet to see Shlomo HaMelech don dinam shel zaynis. That's the godless. That's the payment. Seeing Shlomo be king. Living that long. Seeing Shlomo be king. That's reward. Who cares about this nuance? She saw him yoyshev don dinam shel zaynis. What's going on here? What's the pshat? So I'll tell you, Rabbi Yisrael, what I think is behind this. What's behind it? And it ties into Mamish what our whole message was yesterday. But it's the next step after that. There's a scary Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's found in many places in Chazal. Echot Shoigig ve'echot Mezid b'chil Hashem. Right? Echot Shoigig ve'echot Mezid b'chil Hashem. Which basically means that Chilul Hashem is a very scary thing. Because normally when a person does a chet, it's measured by what your intent was. If you wanted to do a chet, it's very serious. If you didn't want to do a chet, it's less serious. If you were an oinus, it happened without your will at all, it's even less of a flanarly sasadova, you're less responsible. Chilul Hashem is not like that. Chilul Hashem is results based. What happened? You made a Chilul Hashem. I didn't intend to make a Chilul Hashem. I didn't want to be there. It was not. Lamaisa, you made a Chilul Hashem. You're held to task. You're held to task. But I didn't mean to do it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's a protest going on in the street. Tremendous Chilul Hashem. You happen to have gotten off the train because you were going there to buy a suit. Punct that minute when you walked into the crowd, there was a huge crowd. They were making a protest, made a tremendous Chilul Hashem, and you got stuck in the crowd. You were. There's nothing you were able to do. There's pictures of you in all the papers. Chilul Hashem, Chilul Hashem, Chilul Hashem. Yeah. So Chazal tells us, it's on your account. It's on your account. If this was any other Aveira, including Chilul Shabbos, you were stuck with a crowd, and somehow with the crowd you got pushed onto a train, and you went on a train for Shabbos for 4 hours because you were stuck. Oynis. You don't have to do tshuva. You don't have to bring a korban chatas. Nothing. If you got onto a train, you forgot it was Shabbos, you have to bring a korban chatas. You're not chayv skila, you're not chayv koras, but you have to bring a korban chatas. Right? But if you got forced onto the train, you mechal Shabbos, assuming that the train was chilul Shabbos, you're potter from any. You don't have to clap al chayt either. There's nothing to do. You're clean. But chilul Hashem is not like that. The same story happens. An epis, a kum darois, it comes out from that thing, a chilul Hashem. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. He says this is a scary thing. He says what I'm telling you now. He says this is a scary thing. He says because chilul Hashem is measured by what happened. Right. So my shaila to you is like this. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a avinu of a rachma. The Eibush is a rachma. So how is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam judges a person for something that they had no control over? This wasn't my fault. The other way around, we find the same thing. Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, you get credit. Even if you had nothing to do with it. Not only had nothing to do with it, you tried to mess it up. You dafka tried to mess up. Doesn't matter. Imkol's there. You tried to mess up, you get it anyway. You get credit. I'll give you an example. Haman Harasha. Say Chazal Mibnei Bonov Shal Haman Lomdu Torah Mibnei Brak. Haman had grandchildren that taught Torah. Nachem Bnei Brak. Right? So he's a halacha shayla. How could it be? I'm all like, good question. There's many answers to that question. Many answers. The most simple answer they give is that Haman actually was not a real Amaleki. He was from Agag, but it was indirect. There was a mother and this, and he wasn't a real Amaleki. By Umas Ha'olam Aloich Achar Zochar. So theoretically, he wasn't Amaleki. He weren't chayef to kill him. That they used that to answer also Mordechai. Because if you remember, we discussed this in Megillas Esther. How did Mordechai allow he sold his bread to Haman, right? When they worked together, and Haman was starving to death, he asked him for a loaf of bread, and Haman sold himself as an eved to Mordechai, right? So the Achronim ask, what right did Mordechai have to give Haman a loaf of bread if he's Amaleki? He's starving to death? Zayge benched. What right did he have to do it? So there's a lot of answers. But one of the answers is what I'm telling you now. One of the answers is that he wasn't a real Amaleki. He wasn't a halachic Amaleki. Came from Agag, but he wasn't a halachic Amaleki. But Ech Shiyah, Haman Arosha has grandchildren that were Marbitz Torah B'Yisrael. How was he Zeche? So the Alter Slabodka says very simple. The Gemara says in Megillah, Godol Mesiris Tabas, Yoisim Imemches Nevim Shenisnabu L'Yisrael. When Achashverosh gave Haman the ring, Klai Yisrael did tshuva. The bottom line is, Haman was an anti-Semite. Haman was the biggest hater of Yidden. He wanted to kill all of us. It's true. But the bottom line is, by him trying to kill all of us, we did tshuva. And the bottom line is, then came a story of Purim. So it comes out that Haman has a piece in the Kiddush Hashem that came out at the end. So he didn't get reward directly in his pocket, but an Einikol, Nebonov, Lomdu Torah B'Bnei Brak. That's what the Alta Slabodka said. It's the same idea that just like Chil Hashem, you could get punished for something you had nothing to do with. I didn't want to make a Chil Hashem. I didn't do anything to make a Chil Hashem. It was an oinus. Happened. So Kiddush Hashem also works that way. You get credit even though you weren't trying to make a Kiddush Hashem. Haman was fakert. It's a Kiddush Hashem. There's a famous Shaila in the Poskim. A guy wanted to, this happens, I'm to show you, a guy wanted to embarrass somebody he knew in yeshiva. He was like a competitor of his with Shidduchim, with other things. So he decided to make up a story and tell him that there's a Shidduch that wants to go out with him, and like he's the Shatchan, and he worked it out with the girl's parents, and he should pick up the girl Sunday at 5 o'clock. Never happened. He fooled him. He never spoke to the girl's side. There's no nothing. So imagine a boy coming to a girl's house. The parents open up the door. Shalom Aleichem. He's with his time and his ganzer meiser. He's here for a date. And they go, well, what are you crazy? You're nuts? So this guy, not only he wanted to embarrass his friend. Not only he wasn't trying to help him, but he wanted to embarrass him. Because there was a deeper rooted issue between them. The end is, this is what happened. They open up the door. The father goes, Shalom Aleichem. He goes, I'm here for a date. He goes, date? What are you talking about? Who are you? This is what I was told. A friend of mine is, your friend? I don't know him either. I know you, I don't know your friend, I don't know nothing. But son, you're in the house, Shalom Aleichem, let's talk. He talks to the guy, he goes, I'm impressed with this guy. You know what? Take my daughter around. They got engaged. The chevroman wanted shatchonus. No one shatchonus. Lamaisa, the bottom line is, without me, you wouldn't have met the girl. Or the father, or anything. So Lamaisa, I want to get shatchonus. Even a ganzer tumult in the poiskim. He's shatchon. Yeah, no. So by Kiddush Hashem, you find such a thing, Lamaisa. You find such a thing, Lamaisa. You had no intention to make a Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem came out, you're going to get credit for it. You'll get a feather. Fakert, you had no intention to make a Kiddush Hashem. So the Shaila is, how could the Rabbanu Shem Shtoltzu, how could the Rabbanu Shem give me a punishment for something that I never intended or had anything to do with? It just happened. What's the Pshat? So Rabbi said, I think that the Pshat Tove is very Pashat. And it fits what we were discussing. What did we discuss yesterday? Yesterday we discussed that obviously Pliny Almoini, Rashi says, he didn't want to do Yibam. Yet if you read the Psukim, we don't see Pliny Almoini didn't want to do Yibam. He just said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do Yibam. I don't know what it'll be. So it's not that he didn't want to do Yibam. If Rus wouldn't have been a Moyavir, he would have done Yibam. But we were Medayik and Rashi. Rashi says the reason why his name is taken out is because he didn't want to do Yibam. He was opposed to doing Yibam. Even though you don't see Bechlal that he was opposed to doing Yibam. You don't see it. The Teretz is, B'derech sha'odom roitze leilech melichnoise. He didn't want to do Yibam. He didn't want to be making shame. Because he didn't want to be making shame, so he had all these excuses. He had frum excuses. He had halacha excuses. He's worried about his kids. He's worried about this. But the emes is, if he would have wanted to do yibum, then he would have also been aware of mayavi v'loy mayavis. He would have been aware of the halacha moshe misinai. The reason why he was appointing Almoyda, the reason why he was so empty is because he didn't want it. And that's what Rashi is teaching us. He didn't want to do Yibum. He didn't want to do Yibum. The opposite, Boaz wanted to do a mitzvah, so we brought down from the Ben Ishchai. Hashem brought Pliny Almoyda, that minute that Boaz went to the shower here, Hashem brought him. And if Boaz, and if Pliny Almoyda would have been in Africa, Hashem would have brought him there. Hashem would bring him to where he has to go. Hashem brought him there. So now, that now we understand what it means. Echad shoygeg ve'echad meisid b'chil Hashem. Hashem doesn't give you an opportunity to be mekadesh shem shemayim unless somewhere you, your father, your grandfather, somebody did something that wanted, they wanted a kiddush Hashem, and from there it evolved, a kiddush Hashem came out. A kiddush Hashem came out. And from that kiddush Hashem that was involved, that evolved, that made, that you made a kiddush Hashem. Chil Hashem. When we say you're, even if you're an oinus, you're held responsible. Oinus doesn't mean. Oinus means maybe the time that you did the chil Hashem, you didn't intend to do chil Hashem. But there was something originally that caused you, that caused that outcome. It doesn't just happen. Something in your history caused that it evolved, that you created a chil Hashem. It's true, that particular morning that you woke up and you went onto the train, you weren't planning on a chil Hashem. But there's something behind it. Now I'm going to tell you, it's a new pshat in the Medrash that we had in this last week, different than what I told you in previous years. That could be a new pshat in David HaMelech. David HaMelech said, Ani amati elich l'mokom ployni, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. V'yuraglai melich ezoisi l'botei k'nesis l'botei medrash. It's the end as I end up in this Medrash. So I've given you many pshatim over the years, pshat in this Medrash. I want to tell you another pshat. The other pshat I want to tell you is like this. A person wants to do a mitzvah. Really wants to do a mitzvah. Hashem then gives you opportunity, even when you have no idea that it's coming. David HaMelech had such a desire for Torah that even a day that he thought he won't be able to, you know, today I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to learn Torah today. Doesn't matter. The Rebbe Hashem is going to give you that opportunity. My feet got me there anyway. Even when I didn't intend. Even when I didn't intend to end up in the Beis Medrash, the Eibishter worked it out that I should get there. But that wasn't in the air. That was because it was based on a desire that he really had. And he amart, the Eilich L'mokom Poleini. The Baruch Hashem took him there. Rusa Moyavia had a desire, an inner desire to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. When she was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and she left everything, she left her, what a Kiddush Hashem, a princess, a daughter of Melech Moav, she leaves, she comes to Klal Yisrael, she goes, embraces a life of poverty in order to become a Geiris. What a huge Kiddush Hashem. Boaz tells Ruth, this Kiddush Hashem that you made now, it's going to show up later on. Number one, you'll get reward for this. Yishalem Hashem Pulech. Pulosech. Hashem is going to give reward for what you did, for your action. But you should know, say Maskutech Shleima Mehim Hashem. There's going to be more Kavod Hashem is going to come out from your action. If you look in the Navi says that when Shleima HaMelech did that in Torah with the Zionists, Gans Klal Yisrael were mispoil. It made Gans Klal Yisrael have an awakening of Kavod Shemayim. So Boaz was telling Ruth that this Kavod Shemayim is going to make another Kavod Shemayim. That's Tehei Maskutech Shleima Mehim Hashem, means you do a good action. It's not just hearing. That's a new pshat in mitzvah gereres mitzvah. This mitzvah will make that another mitzvah come your way even when you don't plan on it. Even if you don't plan on the mitzvah. Somehow it's going to dray, you're going to end up with such a mitzvah. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Because schar mitzvah is that Hashem gives you a mitzvah you didn't even ask for. Schar mitzvah means Hashem is, you should go pick a choice. If you're going to do it, you'll get mitzvah gifts. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Hashem is going to give you mitzvahs even when you didn't ask for them. That's a new understanding in schar mitzvah mitzvah. That's the yisrael. And that's what Boaz was telling him. Doira doiras from now, you're still going to have a Kiddush Hashem that's going to come out that you didn't even plan on. Being Megayer, Misgayer, you planned on. Coming to help Nomi, that you planned on. But I'm telling you, there's going to be Doira doiras where it's going to come out of Kiddush Hashem that you didn't even plan on. And that's the schar mitzvah. You pick away and Hashem then dumps on. You can see, I see that in life a lot. You do sometimes the right thing, somehow everything else just starts rolling in that you didn't even plan on. You didn't plan on it, Bichlal. Somehow, one thing leads to the other. And that's another tremendous lekach from Megillas Rus. And it could be that that's another reason why we read it on Shavuos. Because part of what we have to understand when we're Mekabel Torah, it's a lofty Torah, it's a hard Torah, it's not just a Pashto Torah, is that once you Mekabel the right way, everything starts evolving. Everything memela, everything will memela come your way. Could be another pshat in the Tchis HaMeisim between the Dibris. You know, I always ask that kasha. You know, Klai Yisrael died between each one of the Aseres HaDibris. They got another Tchis HaMeisim. It's a Pela Nifla. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a miracle? Tchis HaMeisim is the biggest miracle in history. Hashem made 10 times that miracle. By each Dibra, Paruch HaNishmosim, Tchis HaMeisim. Why would Hashem do such a nest 10 times over? Noch a nest, noch a nest, noch a nest. The pshat is, the Ribbono Shel Olam was showing us that if we're mekabel Torah, Hashem's going to turn the world over for us. Each dibra, there's another tchis ha-meisim for that dibra. That's alone the lekach, which is mamish this idea of tehei maskutach shleima meim Hashem.